At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Out Stretch Litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Out Stretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Out Stretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the week 3 episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Callan Elsager, joined as always, by Brian and Mario. And guys, this was, it's only been 2 weeks, but this week was insane. We had so many back and forth games, so many exciting finishes, including a Russell Wilson Hail Mary to potentially tie it, only for it to end in the most Denver Bronco way and not converting it. But a lot of injuries too, a lot of exciting games, but the funny thing is these injuries don't seem to be giving us as many great waiver options. So we'll break down all there is to know from what happened week 2. Guys, we should be getting to go into week 3. But we'll start off as we always do. How was your week 2 for your rosters?
Well, I have to say this has got to be probably one of my top 2 favorite weeks of this entire season. Because, wow, what a week it was. Not as great as last week, but, you know, like I said, top 2. Happy to be here, though.
Oh my gosh. And then for me, you know, we're God's plan. We're trying to see, we won't know our scores until tomorrow, but we still have Dallas defense. And last I checked, they're the number one position, like the number one fantasy asset right now. So they're my RB1, my QB1. We're riding with them. So let's do it.
And just like last week, we are currently recording this as not just one, 2 Monday Night Football games are played, and as we know, the Saints versus Panthers and the Steelers versus Browns. So while you're listening, you know the result of this, but I don't, and I'm a Steelers fan, so if I drop or fail to finish this podcast, I think you guys will know why. So we'll start off. Yeah, no spoiler. Don't tell me what happens, but we'll get into the waivers in just a little bit, but we want to start off like we did last week, some of the big takeaways. And we're going to start off with all the news, all the updates to start off. And this may not be the biggest one, but we'll start off with a couple of concussions. It was a little busier day in terms of the head injuries. Hopefully these aren't severe. But as we go into week 3, there are 4 fantasy relevant players that are currently going into concussion protocol with Jalen Waddle, Devontae Adams, and Anthony Richardson. obviously there's a Logan Thomas. Yes, thank you. I leave blank them on. That was a off topic. Jackson should be suspended for that. He also concussed Jakobi Meyers last week, so week one. So I'm shocked there was no suspension handed down. That was a complete dirty cheap shot. But going off topic. So obviously we don't know the extent of these guys' concussions. They're going to go through the protocol. We'll know more as the week goes on. But at this point, are you preparing contingency plans for these guys, or what's kind of expectations you have for week three availability?
Yeah, so I'll say, just looking at Davante Adams, I was kind of following his situation. My understanding for him is that it seems likely that he will not report on any injury reports. I guess we'll have to just wait and see on that one. Obviously, it would be a huge blow to see Davante Adams, and especially if Jakobi Meyers is out. I mean, that I don't know what that offense is going to look like. Maybe it's a bump to Josh Jacobs, but I'll say Davante Adams, I'm not panicking yet. He seems to stay in the game after the hit, so he's not what I'm worried about. But Anthony Richardson, I'll defer to you, Brian. You're the resident Colts fan, but him, I may be a little bit more concerned about missing time.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it safe, especially watching Tua last year. I think the Colts have no reason not to just sit him 1 week at least, make sure that he's safe. Minshew's proved to be a decent asset out there. Am I saying we're going to be streaming him and, you know, pulling him off the waiver wire? Probably not, maybe in a super flex league, but just for Richardson's sake, you know, he's been banged up now leaving both these games, so I'm sure we're gonna see him sit in week three.
Hopefully not. He's been awesome, and he was just entering in terms of my mind as a pretty much a viable week-by-week starter for fantasy purposes. So hopefully he's able to come through his protocol in a, you know, an interesting matchup with the Baltimore Ravens coming up in week three. So monitor that closely. Any impact for the Colts receivers in that one? Are you moving Michael Pittman down or anything like that if something were to happen?
I actually think Michael Pittman, when I say up, I mean just a little bit, but I actually think his up, he has a higher ceiling with Minshew than he does with Richardson. We saw Richardson running two touchdowns. That immediately capped what Pittman's going to see. You know, they went up quickly on the Houston Texans. They started running the ball. You know, Zach Moss saw quite a bit of action. So I think Pittman only stands to gain with Minshew coming out there. Like I said, not much more, but I do think that he has a higher chance of scoring touchdowns with Minshew on.
Yeah, Minshew might be the best arm Pittman's had in the last 3 years, just between Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, and Anthony Richardson. Great arm, but like you said, he has the potential running dual threat, so it's going to be taking away from Pittman. So I think Pittman, you're not too worried about, but I think everybody else after that, I wouldn't really risk it.
Yeah, like we said, monitor these situations closely, and monitor this situation closely as we move over to the next piece of news. And this one I'm getting very concerned about. Joe Burrow reactivated his calf injury, said it was sore after the game, and we're now getting to, it's been 2 weeks so far, and we'll get to that in a little bit with some of the other week two takeaways. But the Bengals have not looked good at all. So if he's reactivating the injury, I think it's possible they could just say, let's sit you out a week, get you right before then. But if you start off 0-2, there's only so many losses the Bengals can afford to keep taking before they consider this a lost season. So obviously it's early, but what's your level of concern for your Bengals going forward? And if you're a Joe Burrow manager, same thing. Are you planning your a contingency?
Yeah, so if I have Joe Burrow, I am planning a contingency because I do think there's a chance they play it safe with him. He's obviously the franchise there. But I'll say overall about the Bengals, I'm not too worried. They started off 0-2 last year before they went on that crazy run, finishing overall, I think, with 14 wins it was last year. So I'm not worried overall. Like if you're a Mixon manager, he hasn't scored a touchdown yet, but he's still getting about 60 yards a game. And I feel like that's kind of what he was drafted, you know, with like the 60 yards touchdown upside. If anything, maybe I'm starting to get a little worried about Chase, especially if Burrow is going to be missing next week as well. They're just not doing what he thrives in, which is just like throwing him the ball, right? Like he's got to get him downfield and throw him the ball. So if Burrow misses time, I'm a little worried about Chase and Higgins. But if I'm a Mixon manager, I'm still riding. I think he's still your RB2, your flex potential. But if you are a Burrow manager, if you only have one quarterback on your roster, I would spend some fab, maybe drop your waiver priority picking up a backup this week.
I think it's solid advice. I'd be a little nervous for sure.
Perfect. Yeah, monitor closely. We'll get a lot with our start-sit shows, podcasts, but just a little heads up there. the injuries just kept on going. Saquon Barkley left on the final drive of the game for New York Giants with an ankle injury. He had an MRI on Monday, and as we're recording this, it currently stands he's going to be missing about 3 weeks expected. It doesn't seem like it's a high ankle sprain, which thankfully I have him on a few rosters, so I'm going to. So that's better news than I was expecting originally. It did not look good. So the next guy up in this New York Giants backfield is Matt Breida. Yeah. And we'll get to the waiver options, but he's going to be a waiver add for some people. What's your level of interest in Breida or anybody else in this Giants backfield?
I'm going to go hard pass, man.
Yeah, if you don't want
to. Yeah, sorry. I was just saying, I don't want to play this game. I think there's a high chance that they pick somebody up if he really is out for more like 3 weeks or more. I don't want to play this game.
Yeah, I think Danny Dimes just bumps up to RB1. I mean, we saw his wheels last week. He looked good. 9 rushes, 59 yards and the touchdown. So Matt Breida, if you absolutely are a wasteland, you have no other options. He could be worth a dart throw. The upside's there, right? Like, you have to think, even if he gets the 10 carries, he could manage it into something, maybe trip into the end zone. But unless you're really desperate, I'm not. But it's not a good, it's a thin week for waivers at running back as a whole. So he may be like the lesser of all evils, but not confidence inspiring.
Especially in a week 3 matchup against San Francisco 49ers. Hard pass, Thursday night, short week. It's not going to be good for Giants running back. So pivot elsewhere, but Breida will at least take the lead backfield for a week or two. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, hard pass, let's avoid it. But someone will pick him up in your league. Likely should not be you. The big pickup from last week we kind of touted was, for most of us, was Kyren Williams with the Los Angeles Rams. And boy, has that gotten to be an even better look so far, as Cam Akers was a healthy scratch in week 2. And they're currently looking to trade him. So obviously, if Kyren Williams is out there, go get him. He's going to be a starting back, running back for the Rams, who are actually looking like a good offense again now. So he's been great. What are you doing with Cam Akers now? Is he droppable for Kyren or any of these good running backs? Do you hold him with the hope that he gets traded elsewhere and they actually use him? What's your read there going forward?
Yeah, if Kyren Williams is available and I have Cam Akers, I like that swap. I would upgrade there. If it's a deeper league and there's not as many options, I don't mind holding on to him. We don't know where he's going to go. We've seen him have flashes last year. I think depending on where he could get traded to, he could have some potential. I'd have to think about what teams would be a good fit. But I would hold on to him unless there's somebody you're targeting, right? Like, he's probably at the bottom of the barrel on your team. Maybe you could, if your league is one that does some active trades, you could maybe flip it for someone who believes in the upside of his situation. But I'll probably hold unless there is someone like a Kyren Williams, who we did preach about last week. So hopefully he's not out there still. Yeah, I'm holding.
Yeah, I think we'd need to see him go to like a Minnesota and Indianapolis or a Miami. Mm-hmm. I think all of those spots would potentially give him, you know, the workload that we would like to see him get to make him potential as a starter again. But I think you do have to be able to play with, what does your roster look like? Do you need to pick up a running back right now? Because I think he should be on that as a cut candidate, depending on what your roster looks like.
Yeah, he's been, we saw this last year too, when it was, oh, we're going to trade him, we're not liking him. And then 4 weeks later, he was back and winning people big matchups late in the season. So I don't know what to expect. I think Akers will see the field at some point again. Just may not be for the Los Angeles Rams this time, but monitor it closely. I would agree there. But the last injury that seems like a more serious thing at this point that we saw seen so far in week 2 is David Montgomery. He suffered a quad bruise, and he's already come out and said he's going to be, it could take a couple weeks to heal. So at this point, I'm not planning to have him in my lineups if we've had him for week 3. Obviously, we all hope that it's Jahmyr Gibbs who gets the uptick in volume, but is there anybody else in this Lions backfield that you think could become fantasy relevant as a result?
Yeah, I'll say it may not be someone in the Lions backfield. I'm looking at, I think Gibbs, if anything, would be the guy, but I still do think they're going to be just a little hesitant on his volume. But I think it's just going to kind of be like a mess, you know, like we kind of talked about with the Giants backfield. It's just because a spot opened up. I don't know if there's any clear person filling in that spot. So in terms of Lions backfield, there's nobody I'm looking at. But a little teaser is that for the waiver wire, when we get to later, but there's a Lions wide receiver I'm really interested in.
I'm pretty sure he's got the same last name as the running back that you would look at. Yeah. Craig Reynolds was the running back that plugged in for Montgomery. It seemed like a seamless plug-in. I don't see Gibbs ever getting the, you know, 100% of this backfield, but I do see this as a great opportunity for him. If Montgomery really is out multiple weeks, he won't get everything, but I think he will get an increased workload. And wheels up, man. He got 9 targets, Gibbs did. I'm so ready for him to take off.
That would be great. I'm excited. It's going to be one of those shares that I end up regretting not having as much of with how things are going. So let's see what the kid can do. Hopefully they don't run Craig Dent Reynolds down our throat and make us regret that. But the last couple bits of news, we'll rapid fire since they aren't as major. First one is Deontay Johnson was placed on IR. We kind of expected it, so he'll miss a minimum of 4 weeks. Like I said, we're recording this live as the Steelers have just kicked off against the Cleveland Browns, so we don't know yet who Pickett's go-to receiver. We touted Allen Robinson as a waiver wire option, so hopefully, as we're recording this, that still becomes an option. So monitor him, and I'd say Calvin Austin also closely for the Steelers. Allen Ross St. Brown missed some time week 2, but he seems to be okay. He had some cramps. He should be fine for week 3. Odell Beckham left the game with an injury to his ankle. John Harbaugh says it shouldn't be too severe. He should be fine. He should be severe. As of now, I'm also expecting him to play in week 3. Brandon Ayuk was limited due to a shoulder injury. He did come back in the game, then re-aggravated the injury, then came back in. So as of now, same thing. We expect Brandon Ayuk to be back out there week 3, but monitor that closely. 2 shoulder injuries in 1 game doesn't sound like a great fit plan to go into week 3. And DK Metcalf left with a rib injury. He did return. It wasn't like last year when he left for other reasons and then returned, but yeah, so luckily it wasn't anything too severe, but we'll talk about the Seahawks a little bit and some of the winners from this past week, but they bounced back in a big way this week, and I was happy to see that. And one final note, also Garrett Wilson left with an injury. Sounds like he just got the wind knocked out of him, so he'll be fine for week 3 as well. We'll let the starter sit guys tell us whether we should be starting Garrett Wilson, because he didn't look so great with Zach Wilson. That's going to be a tough guy to your tough second round pick to swallow at this point. But that's going to do it for the big news from this past week in terms of injuries. We're going to move over to some of our big headliners. So we got the news last week, took out a couple of them, but we got some of the big standouts, winners and losers, guys. We'll see how concerned we are about them. And Brian, since you thought of this segment, you've thought of that drop. Let's go with your biggest winner or two from the past week. Anybody you're looking, big standout performance that you're looking to buy into at this point?
Yo. So, like everybody, the hype all over. Bijan Robinson. But that is not the number one running back on the week. Granted, we are recording this during the Monday night games. We got potentials here. But as of right now, Brian, yes, that wonderful name, yep. Brian Robinson is the number one running back on the week, getting 87 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns, 3 targets, and 2 catches for 42 yards. Like, this guy, he's doing exactly what we thought Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson are doing combined. I was so excited for Gibson this offseason, just with the, you know, what he might get in the running game and the catches he can get. No, Robinson says, I got this. I'm good. I'm a year after this gun injury. It's not holding me back anymore. I'm ready to rock and roll, man. He has just blown me away from what we're seeing from this offense right now.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw B. Robinson. It was the number one running back. I was like, yeah, obviously. And it's like, wait, hold on. That Robinson, like Washington running back, I couldn't believe it. I was kind of avoiding, maybe because I'm an Eagles fan, but I was avoiding him kind of at all costs going into this year. But I'll use that as a little segue. So I'll give a shout out to the Eagles running back, DeAndre Swift. You know, I had shares of him last year. It's just what a love-hate relationship. But listen, when the job is his and his alone, he thrives in it. And this is kind of one of the things I was, you know, concerned of in the Eagles backfield. It's just a four-headed monster with everybody just being a little bit banged up. And on the short week, Swift was able to get in there and he thrived. 28 rushes, 28 rushing attempts, 175 yards, a touchdown, caught all 3 of his targets for 6 yards. So super excited about him going forward. He was someone that going into this year, like I said, between having shares of him last year and just knowing how crowded the backfield is. But listen, it sounds like the Eagles backfield is a little banged up. So Swift could continue to be the guy as long as he gets the opportunities.
Yeah, and I talked about from one of my big, at least the running back position headliners, and that was Kyren Williams with Cam Akers out. He finished up with 14 carries, 52 yards and a touchdown, but also received 10 targets, 6 receptions, 48 yards and a touchdown. He's going to be a startable running back up until they decide to do something on Cam Akers, but if you were able to get him on waivers, he's going to be, at the very least, a higher-end RB2 at this point. That usage is going to be unstoppable. And I don't see nobody else really even played. He played over 90% of the snaps as well. So there's nobody in his way right now in Los Angeles.
It's the Niners too. Like I realized that was the big issue. People spent so much money on Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua off waivers this week. And then we're going up against the Niners. So then you got those hard picks. Like, do I play him or not? And guess who let him sit on the bench in his home league? You know, this was just such a hard decision to make. And look at us sitting now with our foot in our mouths and just like, no, it's Kyren Williams until otherwise. Like, this Rams team, it's shocking. It's crazy to see them they look like the Seahawks of last year. You know, just that shocker team that I was considering them a top three, top five pick. You know, maybe the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. But Sean McVay, he plays to win, which you got to love that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, he's always been considered this offensive mastermind. And, you know, we've seen it in the past. And people were starting to be the talks. Is the McVay era over? Are people finally beating him? Is it just now he's showing it. He could still make things work with guys like Kyren Williams. Oh, and this next guy we might talk about at the wide receiver position. But Puka Nacua. Wow. 20 targets, 15 receptions. 147 yards. He set an NFL record for most receptions in your first two career games.
All time.
I thought this was going to be a flash in the pan. I thought this was a one-week thing last week. And when Cooper Kupp comes back, he's going to go back to being, you know, the same two or three in his offense, and Tyler Higbee's going to be involved. Oh, they're going to find ways to keep him around. But if for some reason Puka Nacua is still out there, obviously he's probably well rostered. He was the waiver darling throughout the entire NFL last week. But if for some reason he's still out there, he's considered to be 100% rostered, 10-team leagues, 8-team leagues. I don't care, 2-team leagues, you get him on a roster because he's been that good. So I don't know if we have much more to say about Puka Nacua, but it's a perfect transition from Rams from Kyren to Puka.
Yeah, for sure. One guy I want to talk about, because we sung the praises of his teammate last week. We sung praises about Zay Jones last week, and we were talking about, Christian Kirk. He is, you know, it seems like they're fading him out. He only got 3 targets last week in week one. Now in week two, comes back with 14 targets, leads his team in targets, brings in 11 of them for 110 yards. I don't blame the touchdowns on him. It just seemed like Trevor Lawrence, I believe he was 0-for-7 for red zone completions. So he just didn't have it this week. But Christian Kirk is just somebody who I was surprised. He was, after week one, I had no confidence left. I feel like I was already on the Zay Jones hype train of just being like, Zay Jones is the number two going forward. Christian Kirk's still the guy. Like, he's still capable of being the number one somewhere. He just happens to be behind Calvin Ridley, who wasn't the number one this week. But so, yeah, Christian Kirk was just someone I was very, very impressed with. And that's why you do more than 1 week sample size, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask, so we saw Christian Kirk. We're going to talk about him here in the bus a little bit, but he still saw 8 targets. Do you think there's a world that exists where we can still see Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley be relevant?
I do. I think that Jacksonville, Doug Peterson, like, they want to pass the ball. Trevor Lawrence is still the guy there. This is a pass first offense. So I think that it could be both of them being supported. Maybe not to the extent of Chase Higgins level of support. I mean, maybe this year based on how Chase is doing. But I think that, yeah, you could definitely have 2 viable fantasy wide receivers in Jacksonville.
I would agree. I think you said it best, Mario. There's a lot that the Jaguars want to do, and a lot of it's throwing the football. Kirk got a big contract for a reason. He's not going to be the one anymore because they have Ridley, but they're still going to not let him just sit and be a slot guy. He might not be a wide receiver. He could at the very least be a lower end wide receiver, 2 high end flex week in and week out. I think there's a world of that. And when Kirk doesn't do it, Zay Jones will be doing it. So there's definitely a world that 2 Jaguars receivers will be viable. It's just maybe a little more inconsistent as whether it is Kirk or Zay Jones. Before we wrap up the receivers, Brian, do you have any other receiver you want to shout out as a big headliner?
Oh man, I was so excited for Drake London last week. He dropped the 0-for-1 on us. And then what did he do? He came back after Arthur Smith told us he doesn't care about us, our fantasy teams, anything like that. Then he just fed Drake London. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 67 yards, and a freaking touchdown. Like, took all of the great rushing touchdowns we had from Algier and Bijan. We just fed it through the passing game this week. Well, not completely, because we're going to talk about Pitts here, but not in this section. But absolutely, Drake London loved to see what he could do on probably everybody's bench. I hope this isn't going to be a roller coaster of which week are we going to see. Because I think the game script's really going to depend on this team. And that's not really a player I want to get out. You know, I don't really want to play with that style of player. You know, having to guess which weeks, I'm really good about benching them on their good weeks. So if you're able to spin this guy right now off of a good week, off of positive, you know, regression there and the targets and all that, I say flip Drake London for, you know, not for beans, you know, don't sell him for just anything, but kick the tire, see what you can get for him.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's going to be inconsistent, there'll be a Kyle Pitts week coming up eventually. It's just trying to predict which one, but I want to shout out before we move, before we wrap up the good performers, Keenan Allen. We shout out all these receivers, and Keenan Allen finishes as the number one receiver on the week with 10 targets, 8 receptions, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's still very good. If you got a good value of him in the 3rd or 4th round, you're going to be happy with that because the Chargers are going to be throwing the ball, especially with Austin Eckler dealing with his ankle injury when they kind of came out and said they don't have a full timetable Eckler's injury. So maybe we will be seeing more high volume Keenan Allen games, which as a Keenan Allen manager, I will not be sad to see. And one other quick, you know, shout out, TJ Hockenson. You're very good. 7 receptions, 66 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's good. You drafted him as tight end 3 for a reason, and he's going to be right up there each and every week. But we highlighted the big performers from this week. Let's go over to some not so great performers and our level of concern with them. And Brian, you ended up our highlights, so let's let you start off the lowlights. Who is your biggest concern, biggest bust from the past week, and how concerned are you going forward about them?
I think Breece Hall is got to be one of the top guys we'll have to talk about. 4 rushes for only 9 yards. 2 targets, didn't pull either one of them in because, you know, obviously Rodgers isn't throwing the ball for this game. Zach Wilson was. Not to shame the kid, you know, I get it. You know, he hasn't yet seen his 21st birthday, I don't believe. So he's got some growth to see, but I don't know if we're going to see it this year. Everybody wants to see him succeed, but he just didn't do it. Saw a tweet from Breece Hall sending out that, you know, he had 4 footballs in his tweet. That's all it was because he needs the ball. I get he's on a snap count. He's got the knee, but he needs the ball to be electric. At the same time, though, this Cowboys defense was insane. I think that's something that we need to take note of. It is week 2. This is essentially a brand new offense. They are completely having to change their game plan that they had with Rodgers. So, all in all, Breece Hall is electric. His stamina is only going to go up, so he's not going to be getting caught from behind like he did in week 1. So, he's still going to be in my lineup. I'm playing him. But just know, with Zach Wilson back there, until Jameis Winston gets traded to the New York Jets, we're not going to see that high-end play consistently like we thought we were going to.
I'm going to add a little bit as, like, a little on the opposite end of Breece Hall. I mean, like, the Cowboys defense, they just seem to be, like, right up there with the 49ers as the best defense in the NFL. The Jets are going up against the Patriots next week. Another pretty stout defense in the Patriots and Jets, always a good, timeless matchup, but I'm more optimistic there. To me, that's like the prove it week for Breece Hall before I'm really starting to smash the panic button. I'll even admit, like, if I might be even be targeting Breece Hall in some leagues with just the idea. It's like he just had a terrible week, 0.9 fantasy points. You know, you can really just send, it's like, you really just feed their manager. It's like, yeah, Zach Wilson, like, how confident are you in him? So I'm not giving up on Hall yet. I may throw out a little lottery ticket of a trade offer to get him. I think it really was just a terrible, terrible matchup. I think there's brighter days ahead for him.
I would agree. There's definitely some concern. You have to temper your expectations. He's probably a buy low, but it's really hard for me to want to buy low on a Jet right now. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't blame you. He's got the upside to be in that conversation of the elite players, especially if Dalvin Cook keeps fumbling like he did this past week. They may want to keep the ball in Breece Hall's hands, but the Jets are a tough team to want anything to do with at this point, as long as Zach Wilson's a quarterback, and I am all for a Jameis Winston to New York trade. Let's make it happen. I will sing his praises if it happens. But Mario, we'll go over to you. Your biggest bust from the past week. I know one guy you want to talk about. Is it going to be the guy?
Yeah. Kyle Pitts, I don't consider a bust because he's droppable in my eye, so I'm not even going to waste my time talking about him. Who I am going to talk about, maybe it's because of the Austin Eckler manager. And so I naturally had shares of his handcuff, who finished 12th, finished his running back 12 week one, where he was splitting carries with Eckler. So now you think, okay, he's got the platform all to himself. I would start him over most guys. I would think he is an easy top 20, top 25 guy. Finishes as of, you know, before the two Monday games is running back 43. Joshua Kelly, I just don't know what happened there. I know, you know, he had the touchdown week one. That kind of boosted his numbers a little bit, but it seemed like he could get nothing going. He had 91 rushing yards on 16 attempts week one. Week two against, I'd call Tennessee's defense, maybe I'm discrediting them. I call them like a middle kind of defense, but only 30.
The Vrabel bump.
The Vrabel bump, right? When Vrabel's the underdog, you know, you times two that bump, but only 39 yards, no touchdowns, long carry of 15. So he's the one I'm most disappointed in. To me, he was the plug and play, easy replacement of your number, you know, a top five overall fantasy pick. So to me, that's the one where I had the highest expectations and just really disappointed.
He was in on 79% of the snaps. Had a 2.6 target share. What in... Was he a RB1 last week? Borderline RB? Like,
yeah, he was an RB1. Finished 12. He finished 12. So in a 12-man league, he's the top guy. That's what I'm saying.
So heartbroken. I don't understand that one.
Don't panic on him yet, especially considering news we just talked about with Eckler, his timetable not being certain. If Eckler's out another week, I'm firing him right back up in week three. I don't have the matchup in front of me at the moment, but it's going to be better than the Titans defense. They're, in my mind, an underrated rush defense. You can throw against them like we've seen what we saw the Chargers do, but their run defense is great. So better think days are ahead for Josh Kelly. I expect him to be right back in that RB2 discussion going forward in week three. But speaking of guys, if we're talking about concerns, I'm going to go over to the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And we talked about Joe Burrow at the beginning of the show, so we don't have to cover him too much, but Justin Fields, 16-29, 211 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. And you know what? He's been great with his legs. He probably ran well, right? No, four rushes, 3 yards. It is not looking good in Justin Fields, and it's getting so bad that even our own Mike Michaelis, who's one of the biggest Bears fans in our Discord, is talking about the Bears, that Justin Fields might not be the guy. Bears possibly tanking for Caleb Williams, getting a quarterback next season. And he was one of the biggest Justin Fields fans I've seen for fantasy going into the season. So it is a severe concern for Justin Fields. If you have him on your roster, I'm not comfortable buying low on him right now. I will not be making that trade. He's losing what he's got. DJ Moore involved, thank God, but Darnell Mooney's now out with an injury, with a knee injury. Chase Claypool is not someone I want as my wide receiver too. If I'm Bears, I'm not buying low on Justin Fields. I'm letting the Fields manager figure out. If you're a Fields manager, I don't think I drop him because he still has the upside to be the running quarterback that can leave you when you win, but I'm pivoting. I'm going to find another quarterback for week three, especially when you go up and play the Kansas City Chiefs. The only solace to that is you're going to have to throw to keep up with Kansas City, so maybe he backdoors his way to a solid game like Kirk Cousins did against the Eagles, but he's got to throw a lot, but he doesn't have the weapons to do it. I am at a 10 in concern level of Justin Fields right now. Luckily, I don't have him anywhere, but if you do, I'm pushing the panic button.
I wouldn't drop him. My only like sense of copium with Justin Fields is I'm just looking at his, granted, he was the rookie last year, but he started last year 23, 27, 31, 26 weekly finishes. So he was abysmal last year. He picked it up around week five, finishing his 13, but then he really started to get involved with his legs, right? I believe they have a new offensive coordinator over there in Chicago. So I think they're still just trying to figure it out. I think I kind of like Breece Hall. I like the little bit of a risk it buy low, especially if you think you could lowball the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I kind of like the opportunity there, but I do think he's going to have probably another down week against Kansas City. And then after that, he goes up against Denver, who's kind of not been hitting expectations. So I think we'll see with him. I'm still I'm locating the panic button. I'm seeing if it's there where I left it last year, right? Adjusting it off from the garage, but I'm not slamming it yet.
Who would you rather have rest of season? Justin Fields or another guy on this list with Trevor Lawrence, who they're 2 weeks from now, hasn't exactly been what we've been wanting him, but he was drafted after Fields. Who would you rather roster rest of the way?
Trevor Lawrence, no question asked.
No question. I might want the Fields. I might just be the full copium. It's the running quarterbacks. I think that's what I'm addicted to, right? Like, I think about the year when Lamar Jackson, where he just won you the league because he was a running back one combined with a quarterback one. And now I think the Bears have a little bit of a curse. I think Ohio State quarterbacks have a little bit of a curse behind them. But this is, again, maybe it's just my copium talking, but I still have my toe in the water on Fields. I'll take him over Lawrence. I'll buy low on him. And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think brighter days are ahead for both of these guys. But I was high on Trevor Lawrence coming into the season. I think his breakout season from last year is just going to continue. I think better days are ahead. I am a Colts fan, so take it with a grain of salt. But I do think the defense is better than what they look like. They perform better than they look on paper. It wasn't a great matchup week one. The Chiefs defense, Chris Jones was back. So he was causing all sorts of problems up front. They have injuries right now on the offensive line for the Jags. So I think Trevor Lawrence will get it together. He has three good wide receivers. He's got Evan Ingram. He's got Etienne out of the backfield. Bigsby is supposed to be getting worked back in. I guess week two is an off week for him. But yeah, I think I would take that. Justin Fields, I still think he'll be better than what he is right now. I don't think you should drop him. Somebody will pay something for him. Mm-hmm. But I'm nervous. Four rushes he had this week. It's the lowest he's had since week 11 of 2011. So, it's not going to be consistent. I still think his legs are what's going to break him out. It's what we saw week 5 of last year. But there's concerns here. Absolutely.
Before we get to our waiver wire options, let's highlight one last quick bust each. Brian, it doesn't have to be as in depth, but anybody else from this past week, you're I won't say pushing a panic on, but you're having some concerns after a week 2 performance.
Not to be extreme here, but Jamar Chase, I don't think you're concerned with him himself, but I think you're concerned with the Joe Burrow situation. Calf injuries prove to be, they're an SOB. You do not want to mess with them. They linger. And usually if they get aggravated too much, it leads to that Achilles. So I think that's obviously worst case scenario, being a bit extreme, but I think we need to watch how Joe Burrow treats this. Mm-hmm. They need to be careful with him because I think Jamar Chase has upside with any quarterback. You can put me back there, and I lost information when I went to puberty. But I still think that I could give Jamar Chase a... Oh, God, I'm going to spark an argument or a conversation. But I still think I could throw him a screen behind the long line of scrimmage and he could still get positive yards and have a great day just because he's that elusive. Mm-hmm. But I think that ceiling might be capped a bit if we see either an injured Burrow out there or a backup for a bit of time.
Yeah, I'll say the only thing that Jake Browning, I had to look up who the backup is there. So Jake Browning.
I grabbed him in Dynasty a couple weeks ago.
There we go.
Smart. You know what? Speaking of that, can you excuse me a second? No matter who's at quarterback for the Bengals, I'm starting Jamar Chase. That's kind of Captain Obvious, but it's not like Garrett Wilson where you can consider. Yeah, it's not like Garrett Wilson where you consider sitting him. Jamar Chase is just too talented. T. Higgins is where the question marks come in. But again, we'll let the start sick guys discuss that one a little bit more. But Mario, you've been holding this all day. I'll let you speak your truth about Kyle Pitts and tell me why I was wrong to draft him in my one league that I drafted him.
I mean, listen, I preached it again. If anybody listened to this podcast last year, my only takeaway I wish you listened to me on was that Kyle Pitts is droppable. He has all of the talent in the world. I'm sure he has all the character in the world. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's great. But it's just the Atlanta Falcons just don't want to throw the ball, just in general. I know we talk about Drake London being a success, which he was. But there's only been two. I haven't fact checked that all against the other teams, but Atlanta has only thrown to two wide receivers this year. Only two wide receivers have targets on their team. And then even this past week, Jonnu Smith out-targeted Kyle Pitts. I don't know what it was. Maybe Arthur Smith didn't want to draft Kyle Pitts and it was forced onto him. He has all the talent in the world. Maybe we should switch it to free Kyle Pitts instead of drop Kyle Pitts because he's just not being utilized there. And he's better to drop so then your opponents pick him up, start him, and then just have a landmine. He'll have 1 week where he's going to get a touchdown And, you know, you can come after me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. And you can tell me how wrong I was. But every other week when he puts up 3 points, there you go. So Kyle Pitts, I mean, he's going to be in a bus column every, if this is going to be a segment every week, you'll hear Kyle Pitts in this segment every single week.
I got
recurring
that.
Guest.
I'm going to be trying to get Kyle Pitts off my roster very soon in that league. That's for sure. I'm getting tired of it. That will be the week, and it's just what week's going to be. But we'll move to the waiver wire options, where we should hopefully hear more happy sounds than via the bell. We'll start with the running back. We talked about Matt Breida and Craig Reynolds at the beginning of the show. So those are options. They're going to be available. They'll probably get some sort of volume. But there is a guy who's currently much more, you know, who's less available, but much more intriguing based on their week two performance. So, guys, who's that priority at running back?
Oh, I was going to let the Colts fan talk about it because to me, it's Zach Moss, right? Like, he just appears to be the guy. I know he missed week one. I think it was a forearm injury that he had. And the backfield was a mess week one. And with Anthony Richardson, also in the concussion protocol, I hope he gets well soon. But we kind of talked about, we think that because he's the rookie, he's probably going to be the face of the franchise, they hope. They're going to ease him back. They're not going to rush him back. So Zach Moss, you know, Jonathan Taylor on the PUP list, so he's going to miss at least 2 more weeks. And even though I'm a JT manager, I'm hoping he comes back in week 5. We just don't know. He's going to be all that time away from the game. He still may have his contract disputes. So Zach Moss seems to be a pretty safe RB1 in that backfield. I think he is probably the number one guy you want to go after on the waiver wire this week.
I think so. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's still I agree. How much fab would you say is appropriate for Zach Moss? Because it is Zach Moss, but it is a lead running back.
So gross. Week two, we're spinning up on fab on Zach Moss. I don't know.
Yeah. And especially if JT comes back. Yeah. So maybe a little conservative. I'd probably do something around 15. Maybe I'd splurge like 20% if you're like thin at the position, right? Like, I'll say maybe you're a David Montgomery manager and you're like, okay, I'm going to need, is, you know, Zach Moss isn't going to be super viable week 6, but that's okay because Montgomery should be back by then and he'll be back to my RB2, maybe an RB1. So I think if you're in that kind of a situation, you spend a little bit more around 20. I don't think I'd go north of that, but I'd say at least 15 to 20.
I think the situation you said describes perfectly. If you're a Saquon Barkley manager, you're going to miss,
there you go,
3 weeks or so. Yeah, it puts him back around week 6 when Jonathan Taylor may be back for the Colts or maybe back for another team or maybe still holding out.
He was on the indoor practice field just 2 days ago in there. Okay. So
all right.
Maybe you were swallowing a little bit of pride. Maybe you were just going to finish out the contract and get the hell out of Indy. But either way, if we're on the field.
I like that.
I like hearing that. Football is definitely more fun when Jonathan Taylor is playing running back. But the better options for waiver wire, I think, are at the wide receiver position in terms of quantity. The quality, of course, you go get Zach Moss. Is he really quality or is it just volume? But the wide receiver position is, I think, where there's more names out there available. And I don't really know who to prioritize. So, guys, help me out. Who is your number one target in terms of wide receiver? I don't think the fab will get to where we're going for Zach Moss. But is there anybody worth close to that?
I got about 3 guys. I think Tutu Atwell, right now the number 2 for the Rams. Jaden Reed, and the rookie in Green Bay, and then Josh Reynolds, the now number 2, I guess he's sliding in there for the Lions. I think all 3 of these guys, depending on if A, they're available in your league, I think all of them about have that opportunity. Stafford's been throwing it left and right. There's been so many yards, and Tutu's been, he's been catching him. I wrote him off a couple years ago because I thought he was just going to be a gadget player for Dynasty, and look at him now, 100 yards last week. Decent this week. Jaden Reed pulled in 2 touchdowns after a ghostly performance in week 1. He is a rookie, so giving that time to come on. Jordan Love's, granted, he's got 2 back-to-back week with 3 touchdowns, but, you know, for sure, it's something to, you know, to keep watching. And then Josh Reynolds, I don't know. Do y'all like him as the guy showing out there in Denver? Or, I'm sorry, Detroit?
I love Josh Reynolds. I did a little teaser earlier. You know, you called it out about Craig Reynolds, the guy in the backfield. Josh Reynolds is probably my number one wide receiver that I'm targeting this in waivers this week. I like the other 2, but with Tutu, I do eventually worry that Kupp's going to come back. And then, like, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson has missed the first 2 weeks. We saw how electric of a player he was last year, and I think he's going to come back sooner than later. But Josh Reynolds, I like him. He seems to be the clear number two wide receiver behind St. Brown. And Goff last year, I'll say I love Josh Reynolds, especially at home, because Jared Goff last year had an insane 23 touchdown to 3 interception ratio at home last year. He was absolutely insane. A different man. I think on the road, I don't have it in front of me, I think he was 6-4 touchdown, like absolutely night and day. So
his mom must only go to home games. Like,
yeah, it's gotta be something like that.
He's a Cali boy, right? So maybe he likes the dome. He feels warm in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so Josh Reynolds, you know, and his targets have been consistent. Here I am preaching his name and looking up the okay. He had 7 targets week one, again, only behind St. Brown. 6 targets last week, again, only behind St. Brown, and that was only by 1. He has the touchdown upside because it's very clear. Jared Goff loves throwing touchdowns when he's at home. They're home next week, I believe, against the Falcons. Their defense doesn't scare me. So even if you're doing like props or something, I like Josh Reynolds as a touchdown scorer. And he would be my number one guy. And like I said, even if I'm just putting him in my lineup whenever they play at home, I think that's fine. I think that gets you by. I think he's like that perfect flex with upside player. So he's my number one wide receiver.
I think you have the bonus, too, of seeing Amon-Ra coming off the field a couple times.
Yeah.
Nothing that we think it's serious. But if there is something, you know, he's obviously going to step huge amount of targets.
And I know we touched about David Montgomery. If he's going to miss a couple weeks, to me, he was their safest touchdown. I mean, maybe besides St. Brown, but he was just someone that, you know, was going to get a lot of looks in the red zone. With him gone, I think they're going to be passing it more in the red zone. So more upside for Josh Reynolds there.
I think I'd still put Nico Collins ahead of him. I know he's probably more rostered in terms of that, but he's got the upside of being the number one in Houston. And yes, CJ Stroud at least showed some progress. He actually led in terms of yards thrown. He threw over 300 yards in the second game. The Texans are going to be throwing from behind a lot, and there is upside there. I love Reynolds, too. He's definitely going to be a priority for me. But if I want to shoot for the stars and get some more upside, I think Collins is fully there. Maybe if you need somebody to start this coming week, Reynolds is probably a safer play. But I'll play for the upside with Nico Collins at this wide receiver group. But definitely like Reynolds a lot. If he's got the potential to be a number two, I'm curious about what it's going to be once Jameson Williams comes back, as well as they try to continue to get Sam LaPorta, who we'll talk about a bit, the tight end position, a bit more involved. I could see it decreasing as LaPorta gets more involved. Still be viable, someone you want to start, but if I had to pick between the upside, I'll take a Collins slightly, but Reynolds is a very close second.
Gibbs was also the target leader for the Lions this past week.
Oh, yeah. There we go. I do like hearing that.
Yep.
One last wide receiver I do want to touch on, Marvin Mims, was electric out on the field. You had to have watched the whole game to catch him because he was only out there for a handful of plays. I think it was like something like 12 routes he actually ran. But the 2 routes that he was targeted on, he caught them both, 116 yards and a touchdown. He looked like the breakout that we saw at OU. Sooners fan myself, grew up in Oklahoma for a while. So, you know, I watched him quite a bit. Loved this player. I think that obviously you need to be sitting 2-0 in your league to grab him. But if you've got the extra bench space, if you're looking for the long – or, you know, starting to prepare for the long haul because your team's looking good, you've avoided some injuries, I think Marvin Mims is worth a $1 pickup.
So let's, before we move over to tight end, rank it. We did it last week. We talked about enough guys. I know Mario, Josh Reynolds is number one for you. Your top three at the position. How are you prioritizing wideouts?
Yeah, for me, and I'll also say, last week I was the one that said Kendrick Bourne was my number one wide receiver over Puka. So hand up, you know, I didn't win that week. But this one, I'm still standing on the table for Josh Reynolds, my number one. I do think Nico Collins is probably number two. I like that Marvin Mims upside. As someone who's hoping to be 2-0, I might be targeting him. But I'll say, for the average person, like, you know, if you're 1-1 or less, I do like Jaden Reed. I don't know how much longer Christian Watson is going to be out for. So I'd say that's my number three. That was Reynolds, Collins, Reed.
I'll probably go Reynolds, Reed, Atwell. I like Reynolds, especially the next 4 weeks until we see Jameson come back. Jaden Reed, I think he complements Watson's game pretty well. He's the you know, closer to the line of scrimmage catch, and then Watson, you got the deep threat. So I still think that he can coexist with that. It's if they can bump out old Romeo Doubs over there. And then Atwell, of course, we're going to see we're hoping that we see Cooper Kupp come back. So I think Atwell is a lot shorter lived. I think Nacua is the guy to go there. But if you're looking for a cheap pickup and maybe a start this week or next, Atwell.
I'll stick with Mario's guys. I'll just flip the top two. I will put Nico Collins at one, but then go Reynolds and Jaden Reed. But pretty good options. I think, like I said, the wide receiver is definitely more plentiful in terms of names for you. You have a couple options that you could probably start going forward and some upside plays. I do like all the guys we had mentioned. We'll over to the streamers for the rest of the season. We'll start off at the tight end position because maybe we had a tight end emerge who can actually start week in and week out. It's been two straight weeks right now. And for Hunter Henry, is he someone that we're prioritizing for waivers, especially when it's been inconsistent for a lot of tight ends this year?
Yeah, Hunter Henry, he's finished kind of strong at the end of last year. He had a few top 10 performances. Double checking now, he finished top 6 2 weeks last year, finished top 10, I think 2 more. So we've seen him kind of finish strong before. And I mean, right now, number 1, number 2, again, before Monday Night Football concludes. But listen, Mac Jones got to throw it. Somebody's got to catch it. He had 7 targets, brought in 6 of them, 50 yards and a touchdown. I think Hunter Henry's probably the number 1. Just looking at the rest of the tight end wasteland, I think Hunter Henry, if he's still available, because if we're doing our jobs, you already picked him up last week. But if you didn't listen to us last week, maybe this is the week you listen to us. So I'd say he's probably the number 1 tight end. And he's even someone where, again, like if you feel like you're in a good position, if you feel like you don't need the wide receivers or running backs, there's not a lot of options. But if you don't need Josh Reynolds, the Jaden Reed, I really like zigging here and getting a Hunter Henry.
Yeah, I think he's a high priority. We've seen how Mac Jones likes it. The volume, passing volume went down, and that was our kind of concern from week 1. And they still went a lot of the way to Hunter Henry. So he's definitely a high priority for at the tight end position. He has that potential to be in that 10 to 12 range that we're always looking for tight ends.
Yeah. I'd say that's probably the only tight end that's really jumping out at me. I like Sam Laporta, but I think he's rostered probably a little bit more than our threshold. I think he's around like 70% in leagues, but if he isn't rostered, I definitely like him. We talked how much about the Lions. They seem to be a pass-first offense, so I like him there. And then I think we also mentioned Zach Ertz a little bit last week. He's another one who's still getting the targets. I know their quarterback situation is a little bit of a mess right now, and we're not too sure how competitive, if Arizona's really trying to win games. But Zach Ertz finished 12 last week. He's looking to finish 7 this week. He's still getting his yards. He's getting his targets. So I'd say Zach Ertz is probably someone, yeah.
Yeah, he's got 12 catches across the last 2 weeks. He's looking solid, and he hasn't pulled in a touchdown. Other guys, I like Jake Ferguson. If you checked out my tight end article at QBList.com, we talked about streaming tight ends right there. Jake Ferguson was one of our favorites. Zach Ertz, obviously, is a volume play. I think he's a big pickup. But didn't make the list. He might not play this week because of that dirty hit. But Logan Thomas was a dart throw I featured last week because I think he's always due for a touchdown. Bienemy, I love the offense. I love the situation. So if Logan Thomas plays this week and you are in a deeper league, you just don't have a tight end or somebody goes down, I think he's always worth a dart throw. As well as Luke Musgrave, a rookie tight end, saw great work the first week. Saw several targets this past week. Couldn't pull in some of those deeper ones, but I think he's a great play as well as some of those flex tight ends if you don't want to pay up on the waiver wire.
Let's go over to quarterback where you may be looking to replace Anthony Richardson. You may be looking for a streamer with the Joe Burrow injury. You may be looking for somebody to start over Justin Fields this coming week. And I think there are some viable streaming options. We'll start with you, Brian. Give me your top 2 or 3 quarterbacks you're targeting if you are in the shoes of some of these listeners.
Now, again, we're talking streaming QBs. I'm not sure what your waiver wire looks like. We're hoping there's good guys out there like Kirk Cousins who's been throwing the ball nonstop. But if it's ugly out there, if you got some QB hoarders in your leagues, I think people, we're fading Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford a little bit more than we should. Are we saying these are top six, top eight guys? Absolutely not, because I've never seen these guys run more than 3 yards or when the Gatorade gets filled up on the cooler. You know, like, these aren't runners, but they have pretty bad defenses. Stafford's is a little better, but like they are on the field enough and they're throwing the ball. Stafford's gone over 300 yards the last 2 weeks. Let's keep rolling the dice. He's got a Hall of Fame wide receiver out there, and Puka Nacua, you know? First one called it. Done. Where's that timestamp? No, just kidding. A little ridiculous. But I think that he has plenty of options out there that these guys should be no-brain streamers if you are looking to be on a budget and not spend a big on your waiver wire.
Mario, any other quarterbacks that you're looking at this week?
Yeah, for sure. So I got two. So I got one that is a little bit more rostered, so he may not be available. Jordan Love, he was the quarterback 3 in week 1, so a lot of people probably scooped him up. I see him at 61% rostered Yahoo, 40% ESPN. He came a little bit back down to earth week 2, finishing 16th before Monday Night Football, but he had 3 touchdowns still, no interceptions. We really like to see that. His yards was the only thing you kind of want to see a little bit more improve, only 151 yards. But you like seeing the touchdowns and the no picks. He seems to be smart with the ball. And I do think he's going to get the more yardage when Christian Watson, the speedster, comes back. So there's one. Then in a deeper league, I'll say Baker Mayfield. He was someone I was kind of doubting. You know, I thought Mike Evans and the whole offense was going to take a dip with him there. But he's looked pretty fine. I mean, 2 touchdowns week 1, only 1 touchdown this past week. But he had 300 yards. He like kind of like the opposite, right? Like he doesn't have the touchdowns, but he's slinging it. So as long as he still has those weapons, I think those touchdowns will come. Baker does have a tough matchup this upcoming week playing Philadelphia on Monday night. But I think after that, at New Orleans doesn't really scare you. Early week 5 bye, but then at versus Detroit and versus Atlanta. So both of those, I feel like they can absolutely just air it out on. So I'll say a little bit of like an early stash for that little stretch. But Baker, I like.
Well, we were talking about not wanting injuries in Monday Night Football, and there's been one. Nick Chubb is currently down on the ground for the Browns, was holding at his leg. So we'll know some more here, but maybe we add Jerome Ford to that waiver wire targets at the running back position. Obviously, you'll know more than we do by the time you're listening to this, but it didn't look great. That's for sure.
So quick question with that then. Say Nick Chubb, we find out he's going to be out at least 2 weeks. Would you prioritize him over Zach Moss, Jerome Ford?
That's a good question. I don't like that.
Kareem Hunt's not coming back to town, is he?
I was about to say, like, do they just no? Kareem Hunt, I think he'd pick up the phone. He knows the playbook, right? Like,
you'd think so, but they had so many chances to bring him in and not have Jerome Ford be the backup, and they didn't do it. So, I think I'd still lean Moss because we've seen it, but. You know, depending on what we don't know for now what Ford does if he is taking over the backfield, but for now I'll go Moss because I could see the Browns adding somebody where the Colts, they just seem okay with what they have right now. So obviously dependent, we're literally live reacting here, but add Jerome Ford to the list. He'd go ahead to Matt Breida for me though. I think I'd have it if Chubb is missing time, I'd probably go Moss, Ford, Breida.
Cleveland plays the Titans next week, so you got that Vrabel bump. So maybe you hold back on that a little bit.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely. But that Vrabel bump is worth mentioning. But yeah, so monitor the Cleveland Browns closely, and I'm glad we get to wrap it up with something like that. But love the quarterback plays. Definitely keep an eye on those because there are a lot of guys who will be needing to stream quarterbacks. At least for the next week.
Do we need to move this podcast recording?
I was just thinking
it's 2 weeks now where we had a Rodgers and a Chubb injury. No. We might need to start recording later. But
who plays next week?
The Eagles play next week. Absolutely not.
Jalen Hurts, you better put you in bubble wrap.
We have not been luck so far. So sorry, guys. We'll try and be better next week. But to wrap up, we'll do our streaming defenses. There's some interesting names as always with that position. Because it's defenses and there are plenty of bad quarterbacks to attack like Zach Wilson. But any defenses that stand out for you as someone you should be picking up to play next week?
Yeah, I'm going to say the first one I'm thinking is Jacksonville. We kind of talked about it in the Trevor Lawrence portion, but we think the Jacksonville defense is a little bit better than they've been playing. They're about to go against CJ Stroud and Houston. Divisional matchups, I always think, you know, give a little extra bump to. And the rookie I mentioned earlier, I still kind of doubt Ohio State quarterbacks, and that hasn't changed yet. So I think Jackson would probably be my number one streamer I'm looking at.
Yeah, going up against CJ Stroud, I like that call as well. Brian, any last ones you want to add to this?
Yeah, I'd echo the Jacksonville for sure. Seattle, if you want to go against another rookie quarterback, I think we should be going after these guys all season long. Seattle going against Bryce Young, or even the Chiefs against Justin Fields. Even if he has a breakout running game, it won't hemorrhage their score that much. But I think they always have a chance to get some sort of turnover against this offense. So the Chiefs, you should be scared to play against these Bears.
And that's going to do it for this episode of the QBLS Fantasy Football Podcast. Quick update on Chubb, just based on the literally live reaction. He did just get carted off to the locker room. And right after the next play, Jerome Ford caught a touchdown pass. So we'll be just saying, if he's carted off, you'll know the extent of Chubb's injury by now when you're listening to this, or at least you know if it's going to be a more serious thing. It definitely did not look good. So, yeah, add Jerome Ford to those running back priority lists. So we'll see how things play out. But as always, before we wrap up, let's plug where you can be found on Twitter, any other exciting work you got coming out.
All right, @too_much_Brian. Keep it simple. That's as easy as it is for me. Mario, what you got?
Yes, so you can find me on Twitter, @MarioDamo Jr. You'll all see me doing some articles here and there for QBLS. You'll always see me .com on the Reddit threads. I'm always very active in all the ones QBLS puts up, always answering the people's questions. I love interacting with the Reddit community. And just, you know, being a help. We all love fantasy, so yeah.
Yeah, you can find me @Callen_Elsliger. I'm in the Reddit threads as well. Not as often as I used to been. It's been a little busier with my outside job, but definitely want to be more involved with that. I'll be in the Discord community a lot. You go to QBList or pitcherlist.com/plus. You have access to a whole Discord where you have access to our staff 24/7. Start, sit, decisions, trade, discussion, just discussions about the games that are currently going on, which if I looked up, pulled up right now, I'm sure there's a bunch of Nick Chubb discussion going on. So you get instant reaction to everything that's going on. These Sundays are awesome. We have Discord exclusive start, sit discussions on Sunday mornings. So feel free to join us in there if you want to continue to talk football with us. It is a lot of fun. But let's really consider this whole pushing the podcast back, because we've not been good luck. So we might need to talk off air on that. But I am Callen, joined with Brian and Mario. Let's hope Chubb is okay. And we will talk to you again after week 3.
Peace.
See you.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information: all investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time, and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.